Welcome to our new podcast series, Round Rock Sunday Sermons. My name is Brad Britton, senior pastor at First United Methodist Church of Round Rock. We are so glad you've connected with us. You can connect in different ways through social media, through our live streams on Facebook or YouTube, our website, fumc-rr.org. Use hashtag FUMCRR. Also, please leave a 5-star review. We are here to walk with you and look forward to seeing you soon, however you join in. In the very near future, we'll be adding community missions to these podcasts, so stay plugged in to find out how you can help. We want you to know that we want to get to know you, to connect with you, and be the church where you can plug in and grow in your faith in Christ. And so, thank you. We welcome you, and let's take this journey together. God, help us to hear a word of hope and grace and love and what you say to us and through us. And on this special night especially, help us to remember that you became one of us in Jesus Christ, not just to love, forgive, and save us, but also that we might lead a life after him. Help us to remember that, not just today, but the rest of our days. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So a few days ago, I was visiting with a couple, young couple, that I'm going to officiate their wedding this next year. And they live in the same area as Alicia and I do. And so I said, just come over to the house. We'll visit. So they came over, and Alicia wasn't home when they arrived. And so we began to visit in the living room, just sitting there on the couch. And I was getting to know them better and vice versa, asked where they're from and, you know, what their hobbies are, what they enjoy doing, how they met, all those things. And just having a wonderful conversation. Everything was going great until my wife, Alicia, got home. I mean, we were doing fine, right? And here's the problem. Alicia's a saint. You know that. If you know her and you know me, she's a saint just for being married to me at all, much less 27 years. But let me explain. We're there in the living room. We're talking, and Alicia joins us. And then the bride-to-be asks a very innocent, sweet question. She asks Alicia, so do you get flowers often? And something inside me said, I didn't say this out loud, but something inside me said, this is not going to go well, like the rest of the night. And so Alicia was very gracious. She said, fumbled around. What she really, if it was a truth, it would be like, I can't remember the last time he sent me flowers, right? Then the next question, what were the flowers at your wedding? And I said, do we have a rose or something? No, dang, wrong. Went on and on and on, and it became really quite humorous. And I said, but let me tell you, this is all you got to know to have a great marriage. And at that moment, there was this silence, like they were looking to, this ought to be good, right? It's that kind of silence of anticipation. And I said, here's what you got to remember to have a great marriage. And of course, Alicia's looking at me like, this is going to be good, right? This is going to be real good, right? And I said, adaptability and most of all, forgiveness. Right? Right? What, was that a good comeback? Did I recover? A little bit, maybe? The evening did not go as planned. I was like, I'm the one asking the questions here. What are we doing here, right? It was not as planned. And you think of the night that Jesus was born. That was not the plan for Mary. It was not the plan for Joseph, so they thought. It sure wasn't the plan for the shepherds. They were in the field watching the flock when the angel appears, gives them the news that the Messiah has been born, and said, this will be a sign for you, colon. And then there was nothing after the colon. What would you put after the colon? What would a sign be for a Messiah? We would think something great, right? Big billboard on I-35, right? At least. After the colon in Luke's gospel, you know what it says? It says, you will find a child laying in a manger. In other words, a baby is the sign from God of this Messiah. I don't know about you, but if I was a shepherd, I'd be like, yeah, right. You want me to drop all what we're doing and go see a baby? At our 4 o'clock service this afternoon, we had our preschoolers and then elementary age kids come up and sing. And anytime you have young children singing, something's going to happen, right? Isn't it wonderful? You don't know who, you don't know what, but something will happen. And there was this wonderful moment. I was sitting next to Pat, and Pat and I both just absolutely loved it. It made our day. The group comes up, and one of the little boys is dressed up as a cow, and it was obvious he was not all that interested in being dressed up as a cow. And so right before they start the song, he says very loudly, and it's that moment right before they sing, and the whole place is full in the sanctuary. You could hear a pin drop, and you hear him. He said, I don't like this. It was wonderful, the honesty. It was like, yes, you know, it's like, I don't like this. Later in the song, you could tell mom or dad was out there because the little boy was trying, was doing this and all that. They were trying to get him like, hey, you okay? It's going to be okay, right? So he stands there, looks him straight in the eye. This is right in the middle of the song and goes, and not just one of those. It was glorious. Made my day. And it made me think of the shepherds. They had to have thought and said to themselves, yeah, right, a baby. You want me to go see a baby? That's the Messiah. Are you kidding me? Yet they go, and it says that they went joyfully. They go and they see this and they experience this. And even a greater miracle, they go and tell other people about this. And you got to think, why on earth did God decide to do it this way? Why on earth would you come as a vulnerable, helpless baby? Well, that's just how God decided, because God wanted to show from the very beginning that when he became one of us, things would change. And every time you think you know what God's up to, it's probably the opposite. And you see that clearly through Jesus's life. He got in trouble with the religious authorities time and time again. And you know why he got in trouble? Because they didn't like who he hung out with. They didn't like who he forgave. And that was a problem. Yet he kept doing it. And he did it all the way to the cross. Even on the cross, you remember? Remember the thief on the cross? He had a simple request. Hey, remember me. And what did Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. So you see this grace and forgiveness all the way through. And it's just wonderful. And that's part of what we're here tonight about, right? I mean, this is the big night. God decided to become one of us, fully human yet fully divine. It was October 9th, 1989, Leipzig, Germany. This was East Germany, and of course, the Berlin Wall, if you remember. Lots of conflict and tension, and there were protests that were leading up to this night. On Monday evenings, they were having prayer meetings at St. Nicholas Church there in the town. And they were simply just praying for peace and for freedom to move about freely. Yeah, there's this wall separating East and West Germany. Well, on the night of October 9th, about 6,000 people showed up at St. Nicholas Church for the prayer. And that same night, almost 70,000 people gathered outside in the town square. You can just picture this amazing scene. And the authorities were worried. In fact, they had notified the hospitals, hey, you better get ready, because there were threats that this could become violent if anybody protested. And they were worried about what might happen. But those who gathered to pray for peace gathered nonviolently. In fact, that was their main theme. They had a banner that said, we are the people, and no violence. And so there they were, Nearly 70,000 people, many of whom had candles lit in prayer. Well, you know the rest of the story. This was a big part of what helped this movement that was growing. And on November 9th, 10:45 p.m., that was when the first part of the wall began to crumble. And one of the leaders of the authorities that were trying to control this crowd later made a comment about this. He said, "We were prepared for everything that night. I mean everything. We were prepared for everything except prayer and candles. We were not prepared for prayer and candles." It was a wonderful testament to what can happen when people get together in the spirit of peace and actually believe that God's spirit still moves. And so far tonight, we've had two services, and I've got to experience it twice. We're going to get to experience it again here. But we're going to have a room full of candles lit and wonderful people like you who still believe that God is not only active in this world, but that God is with us and that God became one of us in Christ. That this is a God of grace and forgiveness and love. And we don't believe what the world says about God, because a lot of times the world says there either is no God, or if there is a God, it's a hateful, judgmental God, and everybody who goes to church is the same way. And that's not true. I know at least in this church, this is a church full of people that actually believe in the saving power of God in Christ and believe that somehow, some way, God still makes a way. And there's grace. So I don't know everybody here, obviously. Some of you I know attend church here. Some of you are out of town visiting. Some of you might go to church. Some of you may never been to church. Some of you might believe in God. Some might not. But I think something brought you here outside of yourself tonight. And I think that something is the Holy Spirit. And I think and I know that through the act of communion, what we're about to share together, the Spirit can move. And it changes things. It changes us. And so whatever you came here expecting or were prepared for, I just can't wait to see what happens when you receive that piece of bread and the juice. And then I really can't wait to see what happens when these candles are lit and we're reminded that prayer and candles can really make a difference. I think about the night that Jesus met with his disciples. It was their last meal together, and he decided to break bread with them. They were not expecting this. They'd shared many meals together, but not what he was about to do. As he looked around the room, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many in forgiveness of sin." So I was visiting a family several years ago in the church that I previously served, and went into the house, and in the living room was a playpen, and there was an 18-month-old little girl in the corner of the playpen, and it was clear she had just had a meltdown. You know that look? The tears are starting to dry up, but it red face, and it was just not going well, you could tell, and she's there in the playpen. And I look to the left, and there is her grandfather inside the playpen. And I said, "What are you doing in there? That's a playpen, you know?" And he said, "She was so upset, inconsolable, somebody had to get in there with her, and I figured it might as well be me." So that grandfather had got in the playpen and wrapped his arms around that 18-month-old. Is that what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Is that what God has done at this table tonight? To say that everybody is welcome at this table and I wrap my arms of grace and forgiveness around you so that you might know the peace that comes through Christ. God, we have received this sacred sacrament knowing that we have received what only you can give us, and that is grace, forgiveness, and salvation in Christ. And now we can give of ourselves to others because we have received freely the gift. And we love because you first loved us. And so we thank you for this opportunity once again to gather in communion together, knowing that we are not alone and that we serve a God named Emmanuel who is with us. God, these lights represent the light of Christ, the light of hope in our lives. May we be a blessing to others in all that we say and all that we do and all that we believe. We thank you that this place is a place of belonging and believing and becoming what you intended us to be in Christ. And these lights signify our faith and belief in him and all that he can accomplish through us. So we give thanks for this night and for you becoming one of us in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.